Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Our Lord has the power to talk to any part of his creation. If he is using his power, nothing and nobody can resist him. In Matthew 8:27 and on, our Lord is manifesting his might in a mighty but limited way. Here our Lord appears as giving an opportunity of choice. Our Lord is inviting these dead believers to hear and accept the word of life declared to them by the very life giver, the one who gave his life to save the penitent. When we hear the word and experience a strong, moving desire to obey it, we have heard the voice of the Son of God, John 5:24-26. If we resist the truth, or if we have such a feeble desire to obey that we disobey our God, we are dead. This is an active, awful deadness. Who gave the name alive to the dead? Did they make a name for themselves and then told the other people that this is the name of theirs? we see that our Lord did not pay respect to the name based on nothing. He did pay attention to the reality, to the true state of the people he sent the message to. This deadness did not justify or excuse the dead. Verse number 2. Be watchful and strengthen them which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Since the first part of the remedy is the command, be watchful, negligence could have been the start of the downfall. If a guard on the wall is not watchful, what is expected of his nation? Part of the carelessness was in each looking for his or her private interests and not caring for our Father's business. If we are not eager to help our brothers in need, we are on the path of death. Selfishness and self-pity are characteristics of spiritually dead people. Am I ready to suffer death for Christ's testimony? Or am I dead without the Savior? To be alive, I must be in Christ. There is no salvation and life without our Redeemer. Imperfect conversion is followed by shallow, negligent stewardship. In the light of this message, are we busy doing His will, or barely alive, or already dead? Slaves of the evil master, Satan, the only perfect works before our God are the works done in the Spirit of our Lord Jesus to please the Heavenly Father. Only in striving to grow in faith and knowledge of the Son of God we are preserved. Verse number 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent, or I will come suddenly. I think spiritual memory did not vanish, leaving a vacuum. It was replaced with empty religion, pretense, hypocrisy, vanity, pride, forms of idolatry. The frightening fact is that we can hear and even receive God's word with fervent repentance, then turn around and despise the Almighty in a needy person. Matthew 18:23-35. We are admonished to remember how we received and heard. This is not a reminder of my former goodness. I may not forget how great mercy and grace is given me in Christ. How awesome is the price He paid to bring me out of hell into everlasting life and glory. I heard much more than I can understand. I must watch my ways and prayerfully seek to follow the Great Shepherd more closely, always confessing my shortcomings. And trusting our Father's mercy and grace is covering my brother's imperfections. Our Master's presence is manifested to the joy of His watchful and to the fear of negligent and rebellious. Verse number 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In these few, God has preserved the light of truth in this church. God's grace was revealed to Abraham in Genesis 18. For the sake of 10 righteous, God would wait for sinners to repent. Christ's Spirit keeps the light of the truth shining in this church by the godly testimony of the faithful. The enemy is using the poor, lifeless example of the lukewarm nominal members to mar the testimony of these faithful. we must be watchful, prayerful, helping and encouraging one another in Christ's Spirit. These few names in Sardis were worthy to walk with Christ our Lord in white garments. They are still keeping the faith in the Son of God. He gave them of His purity, and they cleaved fast to Him. They did not despise nor take lightly the grace of God in Christ. By God's grace, we overcome self-will and live in Christ. Verse number 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be adorned in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. First, by God's grace, we obtain victory over our own will, vanity and pride, ignorance and superstition, doubts and fears. Our Master removes our shackles of sin and idolatry. He spreads the skirt of His mercy and grace over us and makes us His bride, members of His body. Ezekiel 16:8-9. Our Lord never had been a covenant breaker. He never forsakes His people. The souls recorded in His book of life, He keeps safe and secured. This safekeeping cannot be misused or abused as liberty unto sin, to offend the majesty and eternal honor of our Heavenly Father. Any man believing that it is safe to sin, relying on our Savior's merit and redemption, has no understanding yet about the very nature of our security, which is only in Christ. The same foe that is enticing and encouraging shallow believers to sin is also accusing Christ's faithful disciples of selfishness, hypocrisy, and self-worship, as he accused Job the righteous. But our blessed Redeemer is acknowledging his own souls before his entire heavenly family, as he does to the world. Verse number 6. Let our hearing be ever inclined to hear every message of our Lord's Spirit. What He says to His churches is important to all of us in His church throughout centuries. We are waiting for our Master's return, Luke 12:36, and our goal is to be ready for a joyful meeting with our glorious King of Kings. To think, I'll get ready for the King when I see Him appearing, or sometime later, after I have exhausted my share of sinful pleasures, is foolish, a devil's snare. Living and laboring in faithfulness to the Lord is peace, comfort, and safety. Running after vanity, pride, and disobedience to the Lord is rushing to hell. Verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, He that is holy, true, having the key of David, he opens and no man shuts, he shuts and no man opens. I see a close link between this introduction and the message addressed to the church in Philadelphia. Recognition, promise, and encouragement. In this whole message I find no rebuke, but there is so much loving, kind admonishment. Whenever any Christian individual or fellowship serves the Lord in meekness, purity, modesty, and genuine godliness, our adversary will hoard all of his dark sources to heap up as many false accusations as they can scoop. Satan can harness godless rulers and societies, false religions, and ignorant nominal Christians to attack. In the depth of our Lord's introduction, I sense assurance to his faithful laborers and witnesses. What you hear from your accusers is not relevant to the holy, true, and mighty to save, the Lord whom ye serve. I am your reliance and shield. I gave you the grace to save you and make you faithful. Ignore their lies. Be not persuaded by their misunderstandings of the true gospel, even if they are sincerely wrong. Our Lord keeps the key of David and gives it to his faithful believers. Only a true disciple and follower of Christ's gospel can be a godly shepherd of Christ's flock. His true authority he bestows upon his faithful ones. A shepherd serving the great shepherd of the flock must be a godly example in righteousness, but also ready to face and confess his personal wrong and repent sincerely. The Lord Jesus has the key of success and progress. He opens the doors of opportunities. He opens the hearts to believe and obey the gospel. He shuts the possibility of enemies' attacks in spite of Satan's craftiness. All is under his power. He exalts the humble and overthrows the proud. His faithful suffer here for a time. His enemies suffer forever. This church has limited strength but keeps God's word and honors Christ, the Son of God. This church is alive. Verse number 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. When we use all of our little strength in his service, the mighty power of the Lamb of God, our King of Kings, reveals to us his might. He manifests the grandeur of his marvelous power in saving sinners and defeating the darkness. If we keep God's word in spite of discouraging examples of nominal believers, we adore Christ our Redeemer. When we confess our Master against the persecution in the world, we experience his power in our life. Verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Witnessing bravely in words and deeds, we look forward to the glory and joy of worshiping him endlessly. In Christ is victory. The Jews opposing the gospel, like Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, profess to be the true Orthodox defenders of their ancestors' faith. Some of them might have really believed they were serving the God of Israel. By ignorance or in full awareness of their wickedness, they were kept in Satan's enslavement. A miracle of Christ's Spirit, grace and power, converted Saul of Tarsus. I am confident that Saul was not the only one. Every conversion is a miracle only God can accomplish. I would think that every organized religious group actively opposing and persecuting Christians, battling against our Lord, is in Satan's camp. Only our Lord has the grace and power to turn their minds and hearts to light. Only he is able to make them realize their folly and sit down to humbly learn the truth. Trust and obey the Lord Jesus and in Christ's Spirit worship the Father. Such a change must be a great joy for both sides, now united in Jesus. Once having experienced mercy and grace of our blessed Redeemer, these former enemies of the gospel can now know that only by the love of the Savior in their hearts the Christians patiently endured the evil manners and deeds in former ignorance of these new brothers and sisters now covered by Christ's grace. What mutual joy they must have had together, celebrating victory of eternal love over Satan's hatred. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the entire world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Philadelphian Christians have kept the word of our Lord's patience. We learned about the manners of the Hebrews in Jerusalem. We remember the wickedness of some Jews against Paul in many places within the pagan regions. This city is just one of many idolatrous cities with a significant Jewish community. There probably was much pressure against Christians in the society, in businesses, and among relatives to deny Christ, to be silent. It might be easier to close up the gospel by cutting off any contacts with the opposition and become one sect. But these believers were commended for their openness to share the word again and again, praying and hoping for a positive change in the hearts that for a long time refused gospel of salvation in Christ. Having been ridiculed many times, treated as enemies, suffering unfair deals in business, and patiently reaching out to the sinners, praying and hoping for yet another soul to be snatched from Satan's chains and brought into the arms of our blessed Redeemer. All of that is rewarded by our Lord's support and His blessing. Long-enduring patience, suffering, and zeal in sharing the grace of our Lord are virtues of God's children, His family in Christ. The entire church history was marked with diverse temptations. Every day is a test, and trials are following frequently. Suffering with Christ is also ruling with Him, and reward is measureless. Sinful humanity is suffering also, at times more. For sinners, the earthly calamities are followed by God's judgment and everlasting consequences of their foolish, sinful choices. Every day, the entire humanity is tested. Patiently suffering, Christians are growing in holiness, but sinners are multiplying transgressions. The end is coming. God's judgment will reveal every man's work as it really is. That final trial will confirm every man as sinner deserving eternity in hell. But the redeemed souls will be separated and recognized as the blessed of the Heavenly Father because Christ's righteousness has been bestowed upon them. That righteousness of the Master, that grace of the blessed Savior preserved them through every testing. That redeeming grace will take them through to the end. Everyone trusting and obeying the Lord will face the day of judgment as the final deliverance from all suffering. Matthew 25:31-46 and John 5:24. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In the days of severe suffering, it is encouraging to know that the Lord is always present. He never leaves His own. In some cases, He did act so unexpectedly and surprisingly, and we have realized this was the Lord's work. In my limited experience, 5 years of imprisonment passed like a few weeks. Many believers and ordinary sinners seem to have thought it was a testimony of remarkable faith and endurance. My observation was that our Lord knew my small strength and great weakness, and He carried me in His arms through it all. It is very meaningful for us to consider and to be certain what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust and obey our Savior, we recognize the eternal King of Kings as our King also. He has taken us into His kingdom. He is our crown. We may not allow any wickedness to destroy our loyalty to our Lord and deprive us of subjection to and of delight in His loving Lordship. We grow in faith and knowledge of Him when we are aware of the preciousness in His talents. It is miserable for us to live in idleness and aimlessness. Wasting our Master's value is spiritual fraud, bordering idolatry. It is only natural for us to apply our all, His gifts, opportunities, and ability to this one main purpose, to glorify our Savior and King. Verse 12, Him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him my God's name, the name of my God's city, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. What man can calculate how much blessedness is in victory? These words come from the Lord Jesus Christ to us, an encouragement and a promise. He is the one victorious over all power of Satan and of the sinful world. The early record of His power over darkness is recorded for us in the Gospel books, the testing in the wilderness. His example is teaching us victory. Inward victory precedes victory over every enemy. There is no powerful temptation for a person not lusting after sin. Before we can overcome, we must acknowledge that we are helpless, and we must seek the power from Him, the source of all power. We continue in prayer to the Lord for our faithfulness. Enduring faithfulness and continuous resistance to Satan and sin indicate that we are stable parts of our Lord's church, His building, and members of His body. The name of our God is written all over our being. The purpose of our life is to please our Heavenly Father. Our goal is to remain citizens of His kingdom. We are waiting for our King's ultimate triumph and full manifestation of His glory and majesty. The New Jerusalem is in heaven and on earth. All true Christians are citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. All the faithful that ended their earthly journey in Christ are in the heavenly Jerusalem in eternal glory and bliss. This new Jerusalem comes from heaven with Christ. First, when the Savior was born as a babe. Then when He was baptized and confirmed by the Father. When He was tested in the wilderness and was victorious. He triumphed over Satan, sin, and death on Golgotha. In death, resurrection, and ascension. He is majestic in outpouring the power of the Holy Spirit. He is triumphant in the death of James and Stephen. He is victorious in all His faithful because His new name is written upon them. They live in Him as His kings and priests. He is our King of Kings, our great High Priest, the only Redeemer, God's only Son. Verse 13. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. When he delivered us from the darkness into the light of his truth, he gave us the new and everlasting life. In this new life he gave us hearing to hear the guidance of his Holy Spirit. Now we can hear the Spirit's message, our King's voice. The Spirit speaks loud and clear teaching of Christ as he receives from our Heavenly Father. The Spirit speaks to the churches, but only the Church of Christ will hear and obey the Word. The Word is declared in the world, but only the children of the Heavenly Father, the newborn and faithful, serve and hear Him. To us, His Word is a fragrance of life unto life. We owe to our blessed Savior our full confidence. To Him belong our soul and body, time and all efforts, power and government, adoration and praise continually. He knows all our needs and He feeds us with the living bread of heaven. He knows our weaknesses and shortcomings, yet He loves us. And in His faithfulness and righteousness, when we confess, He forgives.